Today, we welcome Pam Ettinger, president of Bunker Hill Community College in Boston, Massachusetts. Bunker Hill is one of the more than 700 community colleges that have received federal grants known as TACCT, T-A-A-C-C-C-T, the U.S. Department of Labor's Trade Adjustment Assistance Community College and Career Training Grant Program. TACCT helps community colleges and other eligible institutions of higher education expand and improve their ability to deliver education and career training programs that can be completed in 2 years or less and prepare program participants for employment in high wage and high skill occupations. So let's jump into the questions that we have for you today. Tell us how TACCT has helped Bunker Hill Community College broadly.
I think part of the magic of having had four rounds of TACCT grant is how the work of the college is enhanced on multiple levels. One of the advantages of having had four rounds of TACCT grant, and we have different kinds of partnerships for each one of the four, is that it was very organizing geographically. For example, it led us or prompted us to look at partnerships across different states, beyond Massachusetts, into New York, into the different areas that we wouldn't normally think about if we are really just tightly, you know, knitted in our own community. So geographically, it's organizing, and we get to really leverage different kinds of knowledge from different places. Because we're so industrious, in the best sense of the word, mm-hmm. right, all the time, that we make use of every single dollar, and there's so few of it, and every single hour, that sometimes we don't get the self-reflection. We don't get the stop. We don't get to think about the process by which we want to launch into that innovation. So I think the grants do that. They actually, as difficult sometimes they are to implement because there are so many moving parts, it creates that space. And I really do appreciate it. So geographically, systematically, mm-hmm. in terms of creation space in your head, mm-hmm. I think it's organizing in that way. So that's one level that I see. The second level that I find to be really effective, maybe it's because Bunker Hill was at that point in time in our institutional growth, is that it took a lot of let's try into the next stage of let's pilot and let's institutionalize, right? Mm-hmm. It propelled the college into realizing its vision of, or at least its mission of, we're going to be STEM focused, we're going to be allied health focused. Because those two are the high growth, middle wage jobs that are available in New England and in the, you know, in the Boston, greater Boston area. Whereas if I didn't have those funds, would we have done it? Yeah, we would have done it, but it wouldn't be two or three at a time. It would be one at a time. And the sense of having the richness and then having the support to innovate was very exciting. It was extremely exciting. Mm-hmm. And all of those programs now are institutionalized. And now in round four, the conversations about advising, social and emotional development, all the things that we think about as tied to retention and student development and advising, we're growing those pieces. So I see us moving from the main of the academic environment and building out those programs. Now we're building out the programs that has to do with student development and student retention. And for community colleges, those two pieces really are two out of the three legs that supports us. You know, the last leg, of course, is going to be the financial. You know, the students got to have to be able to afford to come to college to mm-hmm. to get those pieces that are programming and student support. But, you know, it's brought us a long way.
How has the TACCT grant changed the role of Bunker Hill in the larger education landscape?
What the TACCT grant did, going backwards into K-12, is to begin to build the pathway from K-12. Right, because in order for us to recruit for these programs that we're building in Ally Health or in STEM, we had to go back to our K-12 partners and say, hey, there's an entry point here. We can receive your students over the summer so they can move into these TACCT grant programs. So when the TACCT grants came into place, what grew in front of that were things like the STEM Starter Academy that Massachusetts started funding, that are workshops and developmental math clusters that preps students to go into the programs that we're building for TACCT. But what we're building on the far end of the TACCT grant, and I think the employers are part of it, is that you can either go into a career or you can transfer. So it made the student preparation for transfer, I think, much more vibrant. And I think a lot of the four-year colleges are seeing that. Mm-hmm. And because we have to do that encapsulated work, mm-hmm. we're getting better at saying to our K-12 partners, let's align our curriculum. you know, so that that transition isn't so hard. Or we're saying to the four-year partners, that's a better articulation to make sure all the courses transfer somehow. So it triggers other questions that are much more system-wide questions.
How do TAC grants bring education and workforce closer together?
Right, so we don't want to just build three programs out of TAC. We really want to kickstart the conversation of what does K-16 look like? One of the magical things about these kinds of conversations is that it stops the very, very silver bullet oriented conversations of, if you take these three courses, you'll get a job and you'll be okay for life. I rue the day that somebody thought about workforce development as a one and done. And I think the wonders about the TAC grant is that it triggers those questions about how our workforce can develop and can evolve, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very affirming that we're not dividing the liberal arts students from the workforce development students, because they're really a nice combination of both.
What have you learned in the process of implementing TAC?
A lot of the sparks were here on campus already, and so that's part one. Part two is that the TAC grant came at the right time. It was fuel for the fire. Right. So I already had people talking about an LPN program or a pharmacy tech program, or the IT folks have always been scheming. They're wonderful that way. They had a million things that they want to try. And the TAC grant, the money, the impetus, and really the excitement came at the right time. Then the third is really allowing it to develop. And it was the right time. It was the right timing. But then I also think that it was also the right timing for a lot of colleges who are getting TAC grants, because it had been such a long time since we had a large tranche of money. So folks were ready. Now we're in a different stage. I think now we know what to do with the money. If, you know, another couple million, 10, 15, 20, $50 million comes to us, we'll immediately know what we need to do next, because we are now in that growth mode.
How are the benefits of TAC sustained in the long run?
The sustainability, I think, is built in now, because it is, all of these programs are part of our operating budget. You know, the faculty is, they're embedded into our operating budget. It's going to take time to grow the numbers in a class, and I think that really is our next piece that we need to pay attention to. We have two or three classes of the pharmacy tech students growing already. We're beginning to get more internship sites. I know that at some point, I'm going to need more room. I'm going to need additional faculty. And that's true. I mean, it's scaling up within the program, but it's also growing the relationships. Now I need to begin building the pathway from the high schools into these programs. We're taking some of the IT programs that we built using TAC grant money and adopting it for high school curriculum that will bear college credit. So those students, once they're done with 30 some, you know, close to 30 credits at high school graduation, can just come to us for a year in the IT programs that are built with TAC money, and then they can move on to a four-year college or move out to get a job. So we're talking about a great deal of compression and preparation. So it's building that pipeline. One of the hardest things that we're going to have to keep up is actually building industry relationships, because those can easily fall through the cracks. But when you look at industry, mm-hmm. your CEOs move all the time, which means the amount of time that I have to spend out in the community or our faculty or our deans, if we want to grow the programs, we'll have to increase. I'm out of the office probably about 70% of the time building those kinds of relationships. But it's paid off, because the reputation of the college grows those relationships. It's a difference between looking at startup costs and maintenance costs, right? So what the TAC grant has done for us is it's given us that government equivalence of venture capital. Mm-hmm. And would we have developed those programs anyway? Yeah, but it would have taken a lot longer. I know what my requirements are to get that startup going. I know what startup in a box looks like. And unless I can meet those demands, I'm not going to start a program. Rather, I meet those demands by making sure that I have enough, you know, in my general budget, or if there's pilot money from somewhere, or if it's TAC money. I know that it's going to take me this much money to get it started. And then I know then, once I get it started, the possibility of me maintaining it as an institutional project will be probably about 90%. I think that every college has a similar checklist, and their president probably have it in their heads. that to start a program, you know, here are the five key factors that you have to start that program. You got to have demand. You got to have a partner in the industry. You got to have, you know, the faculty to write your curriculum, and you've got to have a good project manager.
As a leader and college president, what has TAC taught you?
Trust your faculty. If I were to give away everything else in the project, the one thing that I would want to have in front of me is to have a committed faculty member who's excited. Without that, everything else falls apart. I know I talked a lot about money and planning and all of that, but ultimately it comes back to that, right? It's that interaction between the faculty and the student, and that makes the program live. Because a lot of grant administration is the accountability, is building systems to be accountable. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the structure of the grant that we forget that there's a heart to the grant, right? And I know I do. You know, once in a while, I just get wrapped up in all of these little papers and grids and stuff that I have to fill out. And you sort of have to stand outside of yourself to say, it is about the paperwork, but it's not about the paperwork. It is about the students who's learned something is now in a different place. And I think that the relationship between TAC and community college is it's in the DNA of the grant, right? If we're talking about economic recovery, which was the original sort of foundational idea of this grant, community colleges is where transformation happens. It's a very different function at the community college, but it's not the function that everybody always talks about and points to. It is not just workforce development. It is really human potential development in the most dramatic way. So the TAC grants really acknowledges that, right? It acknowledges the work piece. Of course, everybody has to work, but it also sort of validates the belief in talent that's to be developed and the longevity of that development. And for me, there are not very, very many places in the world that would put $50, $60, $70 million on a table and say, you go develop human potential. So yeah, it's been a really joyful process, and it's taught me a great deal of patience.
Thank you, Pam Ettinger, president of Bunker Hill Community College in Boston. Stay tuned for additional conversations about the impact of TAC with community college presidents in this podcast series. The Labor Department implements the TAC program in partnership with the Department of Education. $1.9 billion in TAC grants were awarded under the TAC program. For more information, visit taacct.org.